Okay, everybody, welcome on back here to Simple Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We do not change the Bible. Brother Carlos here, and we're going to quickly go over some announcements before we get started with this evening's midweek church service. Tonight, special message, it is titled, Seek Ye the Lord While He May Be Found. So hope and pray that tonight will be a blessing to you. But nevertheless, let's just go over our calendar announcements. Amen. Just remember that tomorrow is our every other Thursday off. And so tomorrow is our week off from the Sunset Market. And then we'll have Friday night discipleship. We will be here for soul winning. Please join us if you can. Saturday, don't forget, 10 to about 2 o'clock. We had an amazing time last Saturday. I hope we can keep that momentum going. Obviously, assuming that you all are feeling good. I know, again, certain health things that are taking place. But when you're feeling up to it, please join us and your church family to be obedient to the commission that Jesus has given his church to go out into the world and preach the gospel. So with that said, we meet here at Saturday at 10 o'clock. And we pray, we get the word of God in us, and then we go door knocking. We're going to continue in our outreach in the Fireside Park area, and then we're going to go straight downtown to the pier, and we'll call it a day around 2:30 in that range. Amen. So please, let's keep that momentum going. That was awesome. We had Sister Eileen out there. We had Brother Giovanni and Sister Kina out there. That was awesome. Amen. So let's keep that momentum going. Hopefully Diego one day, amen, will come out, and then hopefully we get Felipe Maribel out there, amen, back in the day like they used to with the baby stroller for Jesus. Amen. And then we'll be back here for Sunday. And looking forward to that, all right? So those are the quick announcements. Just want to share with you for what's going on. Study blogs, don't forget, these are articles of devotion and study topics to help you in your faith. If you are discussing with somebody about Bible doctrine and you want to give them some advice, or if they have questions, I might have already answered it for you and given you a visual so you can walk them through it. So these are study helps. These are here to help you, all right? Consider them like vitamins. Live stream links, you guys already know, YouTube, Facebook, Podbean. If you need prayer, do me a favor, submit a prayer request right there. We have our latest prayer from my mom, by the grace of God. She said to pray for our, no, thank you, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise for that. She wants prayer for our family member. There's a brother in Christ named John McCarthy. He lives in Sacramento. He has cancer. So tonight, we're going to pray for John and his family, and we're also going to pray for Diego's friend, Bella, right? We're going to pray. So tonight, we're going to pray before we get started. We're going to do that this evening, amen. And then last but not least, church, if you're a member, you are more than welcome to remain faithful in your obedience to God in the area of giving of finances. So whenever you purpose on your heart, church, you already know that you can do that anytime between you and God online. We have a Venmo in the back now. We're getting with it. And also there's a PayPal if you guys have PayPal. But remember, church, you guys already know, we're just going to leave it to the New Testament order. Whatever you purpose on your heart, we're not going to pass a hat. We're not going to pass a tray. Box back there, you just say, God, I want to be obedient today. Here's what I purpose in my heart to give to you. You can do so as often as you'd like. Amen. First day of the week, y'all can do that. But just remember, between you and God, just know that you cannot outgive God. And just know that he is faithful to his promise to provide for you in sufficiency in all things. But don't forget, don't forget, you know what the Bible says, what you and I shall be content with? Food and raiment. So when you want 91 in that gas tank, brother, hey, 87 is just fine. Amen. beans and rice, brother. Amen. We're good with that. But I'm just letting you know, just trust God. Just trust God. So however much you want to do that, just between you and the Lord, you already know, guys, we're going to leave it between you and God. All right. All right, my friend. So with that said, we're going to get right into the study this evening. We have a lot of Bible scripture to consider. And with that said, we're going to go ahead and get started tonight. Does anybody want the heater on? Anybody? A little chilly. No heater. Okay. All right. Here we go. Goodness. All right. Amen. Isaiah chapter 55. We're going to start now. Isaiah 55. You guys know, church, sometimes I like to challenge the members to physically get a Bible in their hand so that way they can put their video game thumbs on the side and put them thumbs to the work on Scripture. And so with that said, we are going to begin this evening. And I'm going to go ahead and leave the Bible screen up because we have a lot to cover this evening. And I like to feed you throughout the midweek to get you guys a dose for the rest of your week. Because as you guys know, from Sunday to next Sunday, the world doesn't stop. And Satan doesn't take breaks in trying to tempt Christians from disobeying the Word of God. And then you got your own personal sin to fight with on a daily basis. So when we come together for the midweek, it is like it's a heavy spiritual caffeine dose of Bible to get you filled up again until we meet for our next gathering. Amen. And so with that said, let's go ahead and get right into it on our Bible train. Tonight's message is titled, Seek Ye the Lord While He May Be Found. Let's read the Bible verse and then we'll pray. Isaiah chapter number 55. And we're going to read together starting in verse number 6. So if you have a Bible, you can follow along. But again, we have a lot to cover, so we're going to leave the screen on just to give you guys a hand. Isaiah, the 55th chapter, verse number 6. The Word of God states here, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." Let's pray. Oh, holy and heavenly Father, I come before your throne of grace, and I acknowledge before those that are here tonight that you are the one and true living God, the only God. We thank you, and we know we have a relationship with you because we have believed in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe tonight he is our mediator. He is our high priest. He is the one reminding you, Father, of the promise of eternal life every time Satan accuses us of our sin before you. Tonight, God, I thank you that you listen to Jesus. I thank you that you listen to the Holy Spirit, and we need them to help us because a lot of us do not pray as we ought. A lot of us fail in our walk with you. A lot of us still battle sin and sinful habits. We're not as faithful as we know we should be. So tonight, God, we want to thank you for Jesus Christ, that you have saved us completely by his blood, that you've redeemed us completely by his faith, and his body was the ultimate sacrifice. So tonight, God, I pray that you would stir the hearts of individuals to be that much more dedicated and in love with Jesus, to conform to him, to look more like him in the marriage and for those that are single. And tonight, while we have breath in our lungs, and if you allow for us to wake up tomorrow, may this message spark a fire in them to seek you while you may be found. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Isaiah 55, verse 6, once again, the Word of God says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found." I'm going to turn now to the Word of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 3. And we're going to read in verse number 11, Ecclesiastes chapter 3. We're going to go through a lot of scriptures this evening. So it's all right, church. Y'all can just look up to the projector because we have a lot to cover. And I hope tonight will be a blessing to you concerning the topic of our discussion and what it is that we want to accomplish. The overall theme, my friend, is this, that while God has given you and I breath in our lungs and all of our family members and our friends and all inhabitants of the earth, God has given them enough time and enough wisdom and enough information of his existence so that they can seek him and they might find him and have a relationship with him and live the rest of their life in fellowship with him, walking with him in obedience. And number two, once the sinner does find the Savior and you become a Christian, likewise, that you would want to continue daily to seek him, to learn more about him, to desire him in every facet of your being. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3:11, "He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the world in their heart." And so according to the Bible, every single human on this earth has a longing for something greater beyond their grasp. Every single one of us has a desire to obtain something that we cannot see. Some of you call it love. Some of you call it a fantasy. Some of you call it an imagination. Well, tonight, my friend, I'm here to remind you that God said that he has set the world in your heart. And there's only one that could completely and fulfill whatever that might be within every single one of us, that longing, that desire of something greater than ourselves. And that's the very same maker that put that longing in there, and that's God. And so tonight, I'd like to prove for you from the Bible that God, our Creator, has placed within every single one of us and all inhabitants of the earth enough faith, Romans 12:3, and enough light, John 1:9, that men, women, and children might seek God and desire to know him. And if this is the case, and if I could find verses within the Bible to see if this is so and true, and if it's proper for us to think about that concerning our Maker, then you and I likewise are responsible for our individual walk with him, that is, our individual responsibility on how we seek him, how we respond to what he's given to us. But once we die, only then will it be too late for us to try to seek our God, perhaps for forgiveness or anything else, and especially for the unbeliever, because once you die, it'll be too late to try to make things right between you and God, and then how you're going to step into eternity to be approved or disapproved of him. Now, you're going to make it there because of faith. You're going to make it there because of blood, but you're just going to make it because of his promise. For the rest of eternity, you were going to be judged at that judgment seat of Christ to determine your reward. And while you had ample time on this earth to seek him, to learn more about him, to live more for him, and you didn't, That's what I'm hoping tonight that you'll be stirred to do more of if you're not. And then, of course, for our unbelieving friends on the earth and everyone else, if they don't seek him before they die, it will be too late. Now, just look up to the screen for these next couple of verses. Let me show you why that is. Psalm 115, and we're going to read here in verse number 17. Psalm 115, verse number 17. Look at what the Bible says, friend. The Bible says, "The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. Once a man or a woman departs, it's too late. It's too late." Ecclesiastes chapter number 9, verse number 5. The Bible says here, "For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything, neither have they any more a reward." Remember that for the Christian. You can cross-reference that for a future study for those of you taking notes. "For the memory of them is forgotten." I'm not sure about you, friend, but I don't know a lot of people from 50 years ago. I have forgotten about their memory. Some of you have great-great-granddaddies that you don't even care about. They're not even a part of your everyday conversation with your wife and your spouse, and you're not necessarily caring for your ancestry of great-great-such-and-such. It's just how it is. It's life. Once they pass on, they pass on. They're forgotten. Psalm chapter 6, verse number 5. We're just going to go through these quickly concerning the dead. Look at Psalm 6 with me now, verse number 5. "For in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave, who shall give thee thanks?" It's too late. They're dead. And then one more, Isaiah chapter number 38. Look with me now in verse number 18 through 19. The Bible says here, friend, the living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. The father to the children shall make known thy truth. Let's go back one, verse number 18. "For the grave cannot praise thee. Death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth." So let me share with you one quick story. When I went down to Obregon, Mexico to meet my biological family for the first time, a lot of them are not Christians. They're Catholics. They're tradition. They have their traditions within the Mexican culture down there, especially with superstition. But I had a moment to communicate with my younger sister when we went to the cemetery. And in the cemetery, they had the grave there, and you guys know a lot of the Mexican culture traditions. They have the little shrines of saints and statues and a little bottle of alcohol. Remember, they honor the Day of the Dead, so they think the spirit comes back, gets drunk, you know, goes back to the pit, whatever that might mean. But she asked me one simple question. She says, "What do you think, brother? Where do you think mom is? Where do you think she is?" And I said, "Well, sister, I'm not sure, but here's what God has told us in the Bible. There are only two places, according to God. There is a heaven and there is a hell, and there is no in between. I don't know where your mother is. The only way that I can, I could have known is if I gotten to know her and asked her if she believed on Jesus Christ before she died. But I don't know. But here's what's more important, and here's what I told my little sister. You're still alive. You still have an opportunity to know. And so what the Bible stresses more of is for the living to seek God while he may be found. Once you die, you won't be able to seek him in return, obviously, for those of you who are not Christian. So obviously, for those of us that are Christian, guys, we know we're going to go straight to heaven. But for the general message, for those who are not saved, for your family members and your friends and everyone else on the earth, it's going to be too late for them to seek him, too late for them to ask forgiveness, because once they go down to the grave, there's no more light there. But God is not far from anyone for them to seek him. Let me show you now. Acts chapter 17. You can turn there with me. Acts chapter 17. We're going to focus here for a couple of minutes and then keep moving on in the Bible train. Acts chapter 17 with me, church. Go down to verse number 26. God can be found by anyone who seeks him. Tonight, there is nothing or no one that hinders anyone from seeking the true and living God. There is no amount of culture that can hinder them. There's no amount of language barrier that can hinder him. There's no amount of no cell phone signal that can hinder a sincere soul looking for the Creator to know that there's something out there that they can find hope from and relief from all the evil and stress in this world. I'm going to show you that tonight. Acts chapter 17, the Bible starts in verse number 26. "And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord. If happily," now watch this, "they might feel after him." And what does it say? "And find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move," and Paul is quoting a Greek poet there, "have our being as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, We ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. In other words, the true God is not a reflection of what man can make with the hands. It's not a statue, it's not a building, it's not a picture. And so, concerning God and seeking relationship with every human on the earth, every inhabitant outside of the nation of Israel, we'll get to that in a minute. Here's what he says. The times of this ignorance God winked at. What is he referring to? The ignorance of everyone else outside of Israel. Everyone who didn't get a personal revelation from God, you know, those are your Mexicano forefathers, your European forefathers, the folks from Africa, the folks from Russia, everyone else, all the other Gentiles who didn't have a God to meet them on a mountain to give them laws personally like the nation of Israel did. God said, it's time. I'm going to stop winking at the ignorance of all these Gentiles doing what they do, building pyramids and buildings out there. I'm going to stop winking at it. Why? Because he's commanding all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. And who is that man? Let's keep reading. Whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. That's Jesus Christ. So from this moment, if we want to rightly divide the Bible concerning how God dispenses truth to mankind and is going to hold mankind accountable to that, from the moment that Jesus Christ was born from the Virgin until the time that he returns, there is no more excuse of ignorance from that fellow out there in the wilderness, in the desert, and for the kid right here in the barrio, the kid in the ghetto, the rich man behind the building, because God has proven to them that he is real when he resurrected his son, Jesus Christ. So what do I want to point out to you? Go back with me now to verse number 27. That they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him. My friend, God is not far from anyone. People choose to distance themselves from their Maker. And based upon the state of each heart, their desire for him will compel him to grant that soul more light, that is, more information to discover the path to Jesus. But where that heart rejects him, God will respectfully grant that person's request and letting their light turn into lusts because of them desiring darkness more than light. Let me share with you one of the most scariest verses in the Bible. Romans chapter 1, verse number 28. You can just look up to the screen. Romans chapter 1, verse number 28. This is one of the scariest verses in the Bible. You say, Brother Carlos, why? I'm going to tell you. Look at what it says with me now. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. So God is not far from anyone. He has given enough opportunity for men to seek him, to find him, so they can have a relationship, have forgiveness of sins, born again, all that good relationship that you and I have now. But for every single one of your family members and friends that continually reject God, the light that he's given them, they don't want to seek him because sin is more important, alcohol is, sex more is, video games are over here, the fantasies of this, you know, vain imaginations of this world that we live in nowadays, whatever that might mean, that is more important than God. Eventually, God will give that individual over to that mindset, to blind them, if you will, so that way they'll think that that is truly the end and all. But all it is it's a byproduct of them having a reprobate mind, corrupt, because they said no to God. We don't want you, God. We don't want you telling us how to live. We don't want you showing us where we're wrong, etc. But that's not God's will. So concerning the Bible, I'm going to give you a quick history. Concerning God giving the word and revelation and laws and the holy scriptures to the nation of Israel, just look up to the screen. I'm going to summarize 5,000 years of history, and let's see how fast Brother Carlos can do it in about a couple of minutes. So bear with me now. Psalms 147. Let's do this real quick. When you're out there witnessing to the streets and you're telling somebody about Jesus and you want to talk to them about the Bible and how they can trust it and so on and so forth, remember, when they want to go to the law or the Old Testament, remember that God gave them to one nation, one people group, the nation of Israel, after he revealed himself to a man by the name of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the fathers, and then he would continue to give them further truth and further scriptures and write them down and preserve it for them, and that's how he would hold them accountable because they would have no excuse, unlike your Gentile forefathers who could. Remember the ignorance that he winked at, because God didn't visit your great-great-granddaddy while he was out there on the pyramid in Mexico or South America, wherever your descendants come from. God didn't necessarily give everyone a Moses. Does that make sense? So God gave Israel a Moses, and then they have their laws, and that's why he can hold them accountable for them not to have any excuse. But then he gave everyone a conscience. And yes, we'll get to that in a minute. But Psalm 147, look with me now, verse 18 to 20. The Bible says, he sent out his word and melted them. He caused his wind to blow and the waters flow. He showed his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. He hath not dealt so with a nation. And as for his judgments, they have not known them, praise ye the Lord. So God has not dealt with Mexico and Russia and China and the United States and all the, if you will, descendants of your ancestries. He hasn't dealt with them like he did this one people group. That's why God is going to hold them in a stricter judgment, if you will, because they had more light. Let me show you two more places. 1 Kings chapter 18. And like I said, you can just look up to the screen for now. 1 Kings chapter 18 with me now and verse number 31. Here we have the Bible. And here's what it says here. Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came. You see there? So again, when we want to talk about the superiority of Israel over the Gentile, it's because God chose them and he gave them all his revelation, all his written record, not any other nation. He hasn't dealt with any other nation like them. And every time you do see a Gentile in the history of the Bible, it's because they deal with them. They have some kind of interaction with them, and then God will deal through a Hebrew to talk to that Gentile, like Nebuchadnezzar through Daniel, or Jonah and Nineveh, and so on and so forth. Or even the Old Testament, Abraham with the Pharaoh, Isaac, Jacob, etc., etc. Okay, and then one more. You can read Romans chapter 9 on your own time. So let's begin our Bible chain through history concerning how men sought God and how God sought men, and how he responded both to seekers and how he responded to those who did not seek him. I want to show you the first example here concerning Bible patterns. What is that? A Bible pattern is an idea, it's a principle, and it's a theme that's repeated over and over when you're reading the Bible. In other words, for those of you who spend quality time going through the scriptures, you're going to see, whoa, I saw that over here, or I saw how God did that over there, and or how this guy sought this, and look at how God responded. That's what you're going to call a Bible pattern. So concerning God looking or seeking out for men, you can read Genesis chapter 18. Remember the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, how God judged them for their sin? The Bible says how God came down from heaven to see if those things were so that he heard, and he sought them. He looked for mankind, and Abraham was asking him, God, if you find 50 righteous people, are you going to judge them all? And the Lord just simply said, if I find 50, I won't judge. If I find 40, if I find 30, if I find 20, and then he dwindles down a number, he won't judge them. He would spare them, but he didn't. So what am I just trying to show you? God looks. He searches out the hearts of mankind to see if there's anyone who seeks him out. At that time, he didn't. Example number two. Now, let me show you this on the screen. This is more important, I believe, tonight, other than the other things we're going to discuss, but this is very, very important. Numbers 32. I know a lot of us have secrets. A lot of us have secrets. You don't have to start naming those things out, but some of us are ashamed to talk about things we've done. Some of us are ashamed about things that you and I even thought about doing within our heart just because of how wicked sin is within every single one of us individuals. But even though someone might not have found it out, I'm just telling you, one knows. His name is God. But thank God for Jesus, amen, because all your sins are forgiven. But imagine dying in rebellion, only to go to hell and then to be raised from the dead, to be shown all your secrets. That's scary. That's fearful. I'm glad to be saved. But for those of you who are saved, can I just give you a little spiritual nugget? Look at Numbers with me here, 32, verse number 23. Before you continue to entertain secret living or secret things, here's what the Bible says. But if you will not do so, behold, you've sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. So God seeks the hearts of men to see what's going on in there. He's seeing if people want to know him more. He's seeing if they want to respond to him more, and he's going to give them more light and more information. But then you know what else is looking for you? Sin. And when you entertain sin and when you commit sin, it's going to produce death, and before you know it, it's going to find you out. It's seeking you out in return, and before you know it, it's going to expose you. So if you don't want sin to find you out, friend, then don't look for it. Point number three. Or example three, prior to the first advent, which just simply means Jesus coming to the earth, any general Gentile outside of select individuals to whom God chose to reveal himself, he was unknown. He was distant, and at times there were men that just feared concerning where he might be found. Look with me at these unique verses found in the Old Testament, Job chapter number 11. Job chapter 11. Look with me now. These are unique verses in your Bible. Of course, when we rightly divide, we're talking about limited history, access to God, limited knowledge that men had at the time. Of course, God progressively revealed truth over the years. But I just want to show you what was the general mindset of men at that time before Jesus, before law of Moses, before all those people heard of the Maker. They heard of the Creator. They heard of the Almighty when he judged Babel and he judged the earth. And Gentiles were just kind of fearful of approaching where he might be because, man, he's God. He's the judge. Look at what he says in verse 7. Canst thou, by searching, find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? Look at what he says later in Job 23 with me on the screen, verse number 3. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. And then one more, Job 37 in verse number 23. Look at what he says here. Touching the Almighty, we cannot find him out. He is excellent in power and in judgment and in plenty of justice. He will not afflict. So in these days, back in these days, with limited scripture, limited revelation, all they heard about was he is the Almighty God. He is all-powerful. He has judged our forefathers at Babel. He has judged our forefathers with Noah's flood. Man, I don't know why I want to look for him because he's going to call me out. Notice the difference between then and now in the New Testament. We're going to show you some of those verses. Number four, once God dispensed his laws to Israel, for example, when you read Exodus, he would continue to speak unto them nationally and individually through prophets. And yet, although they were nationally redeemed and delivered from slavery and bondage in Egypt, they were taken to the promised land. Over time, their hearts failed to continue to seek God. And the only other alternative they had to rely upon for their spiritual substance was the devil, the world, and the flesh. Can you believe this? Let me show you this. It's real sad. Jeremiah chapter 29. In the context now, this is why it's sad. Even though you can use this as a way to witness to somebody, there's nothing wrong for application there, you know. But when you read about it in the context, it is kind of sad. He says there in Jeremiah 29:13, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. It's kind of sad because they already had the laws. It's kind of sad because at one point they already had a temple built. It's kind of sad because their forefathers already had experienced God in the tabernacle. They already had so much supernatural encounter with God. But what began to drift away from that, it was their heart. They didn't want to seek him out anymore. They kind of got tired of God. They got bored of reading their Bible and going to church, and other things became more important. And that's sad. When you come to the point in your life when God has to say, hey, you'll find me again, you just got to look for me again. Lamentations 2:9. Just bear with me now through these verses. Lamentations 2:9. When you look at it through the historical context, it's very unique now when you read these type of verses. The Bible says that her gates are sunk into the ground. Speaking of Israel nationally, prior to them or in the process of them going into captivity. He had destroyed and broken her bars. Her king and her princes are among the Gentiles. The law is no more. Her prophets also find no more vision from the Lord. They're trying to get word from God, but they can't find it. They can't find it. And then one more, this might be the reason. Amos chapter 8. This might be the reason why Israel, even though they sought, they couldn't find it because their heart. Look at Amos chapter 8 and verse number 11. The Bible says, behold, the days come, say the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land. Now, a famine, some of you guys are used to. You guys know that it's like a dearth. It's when there's no more bread or water. You know, there's a lack of that to cause food to grow. But here's what he says. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from north even to the east, they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. Isn't that sad? That the nation of Israel is going to experience that, and they have in times past. Why? Because their heart didn't want him anymore. And because they didn't want him anymore personally, even though they had his written words visibly tangible to them. They had the Bible. This was no longer important. So if this became no longer important to them, then he no longer became important. No wonder why he's not going to answer them, because they're ignoring him through the Word of God. You say, Christian, or Brother Carlos, can that happen to Christians? Yes. Are you ready? Let me just show you. These are not in your notes. Let me show you quickly. Look with me now in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Or I'm sorry, 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, can this happen to Christians? Yes. The Bible says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Isn't that sad? Christians can get to a point in their walk with God, even though they're saved, where they are going to seek vision. They're going to seek for knowledge, but they're not going to find it. Why? Because their heart departed from him. And when their heart departed from him, they could care less about what he said about them and how to live. And hence, before you know it, they begin to believe some crazy stuff. Well, there you have it, friend. What is the problem? The heart. What do you have to do? Guard it. Now, what is the difference between the New Testament and the Old? Well, in the New, clearly Jesus came to the earth. We know he was God. And he invited all men to seek him. Anyone who sought him for relief of sin and burden and forgiveness, they could be found of him. As a matter of fact, Jesus would teach his disciples in Matthew 7 and Luke chapter 11, find if you seek and you ask and you knock, you will find. Jesus invited people who were weary and heavily laden in Matthew 11 to come to him and they will have rest. Those are some distinctions that you can make when you're having a Bible study teaching on that. But generally today, no one is without excuse. For we neither live in the days before the flood or after the Tower of Babel. In other words, none of us have limited access to God. Every single one of us has an abundant of access. The question that Jesus is going to ask every single one of them, your friends, your family members, and at one point, you in your life before you got saved, is what he asked this man in John chapter 9. Look with me now on the screen. John chapter 9. Here's what he asked this man who was blind, whom he healed. What I am in application trying to tell you that he is seeking to ask every soul right now since he came. The Bible says, dost thou believe on the Son of God? This is Jesus looking for this man after he was healed. Do you believe in the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And here's what the blind man who was healed said. He said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Today, friend, the question isn't necessarily, do you believe the Bible, because people have access to the Bible. The question isn't, do they believe and have they heard concerning Jesus and the cross and the gospel message? No, they've heard. The question is, do they believe that he is the Son of God? And depending upon that answer, that's what's going to determine how much more light they're going to get in return. Do you know that when you sincerely desire something or someone, you do your diligence to find it until you obtain it? Whether that was you seeking your spouse many, many years ago, back in the day from high school, you just had the hots and you're like, dang, she looked good, or man, that boy looked good. I am going to date her like she's going to be mine. And you did everything you could. You dressed nice. You shaved your mustache like Brother Felipe, the little centimeter stash right there. You got fit like Brother Giovanni. Whatever you did in order to appeal to the attention of someone that you were trying to get their attention of, you did it. And it obviously was successful. She's there right now. Amen. But notice, when you were sincere and you were diligent in that, you found it. Can I share with you, Christian, two places that someone was diligent and they found something or someone? 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 17, I'm sorry. Paul says that a fellow was looking for him and he found him because he looked for him diligently. He says, when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. Isn't that amazing? The house of Onesiphorus. Go back there and context to read who is he talking about here. The Bible says there that when he looked for Paul, he found him. Why? Because he sought him diligently. Hebrews chapter 11. You know what God is pleased by? He is pleased when you seek him diligently. Look at what it says. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So I just have a question. How many of you are diligently seeking God? How important is he to you today? How many of you are diligently reading the Bible on how to be a better husband, a better wife, a better single Christian in your purity, a better child to your parents, a better church member to support your pastor, a better witness? How many of you are diligently seeking? You know that you'll find the answer. And if you don't diligently seek, then it's not important to you. I don't know why, but I'm hoping tonight that perhaps you'll learn of why it should be a little bit more important. You know, when I hear about you serving God and being faithful and walking in the truth that you learn and that you discover, it brings joy to my heart. In 2 John chapter 1, verse number 4, here's what the apostle said when he heard about Christians being faithful to obey the word of God. He said, "I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we received a commandment from the Father." As your pastor, it really makes me happy to see some of you reading your Bible more, some of you praying more, some of you getting involved in discipleship and essentially being a better and obedient Christian. It really does bring joy to my heart. But what is the inverse? It brings grief when I no longer see you here at church. You're no longer reading your Bible. You're no longer as excited to serve God in the things that he has for you. One more before we get to our final page of notes. What about what I said earlier concerning the Holy Spirit searching us out to see if he could find right living or upright living? What about Jesus? Is it true that they can search us out? They can look to see if they can find what we are professing before them to be true? Now, this is interesting. Let's go to Revelation 3, and then I'll take you to Psalm 17. Look at Revelation 3 and verse number 2. Here's Jesus Christ, the Savior. Here is the head of the church, the man Christ Jesus, searching and seeking out the individual members of his church. And here's what he found. He said in Revelation chapter 3, verse 2, "Be watchful and strengthen things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God." Tonight, friend, I have a question for you. When Jesus searches you out, what will he find? Will he find you faithful, or will he find you disobedient? When the Holy Spirit examines you today, friend, before you go to the doctor, you know, for an examination, they see if you've been obedient or not to their advice, you know, the dentist. What about your God? Will the Holy Ghost tell the Father, "Yes, Felipe's been faithful, Father. Yes, Giovanni's been faithful, Father. Yes, Eileen and Diego, Carlos, they've been good." Or will he say, "Father, they haven't been. They need more work in this area, Father. She's not being faithful over here, Father. Father, they need more help over here to get them encouraged to love people and to witness to people." What will be the discovery of them seeking you out? Can I take you to this very unique verse? Psalm 17. Watch this. This is very unique. Psalm 17. The psalmist had a lot of courage, a lot more than I. King David, you know what he said? When God proved him, when God sought him out, look at what it says in verse 3. "Thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shall find" what? "Nothing." Isn't that wild? "I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress." Is that what the Holy Spirit is going to find within your heart tonight when you go home? Is he going to find you faithful? Is the Holy Spirit going to find within you a profession that lines up with your, or obedience that lines up with your profession? Holy Spirit of God, when you search me out tonight, just like I tell all my church members that I'm reading my Bible, you will find that. You're not going to find me lying. Can he say that about you? For those of you who say, "I love Jesus, I love going to church, yeah, I'm faithful," but you don't read your Bible, you spend more time over here watching this, playing that. Is the Holy Spirit, when he searches you, can he find that? And if not, why? Why are you lying against God? Why are you telling God and other people that I am when I'm not, and before you know it, you'd be found a liar? So tonight, what did Jesus tell those Christians back in the day? "I haven't found your works perfect." He's looking, he's seeking. Are you taking heed now, my friend? Now let's close with our notes. This is going to be easy. I already have all the verses. Make it easy for you. You can thank me later. Amen. All right, now. It looks like a lot, but it really isn't. We'll just go to these together, okay? So now, we are going to show you now of some verses concerning what we're discussing here this evening, which is searching and or seeking God. Let's go ahead and do that now. Here are Bible verses of man seeking God and then how God will be found of them. Okay, the first one is Deuteronomy 4:29. The Bible says, "But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul." Remember what we talked about earlier? Diligently. How many of you are searching God with all your heart? How many of you guys are searching God with all your soul? Are you only giving God your ears and not your hands? Are you guys only giving God your feet and not your eyes? Are you giving God everything? God said you'll find him if you search him with your whole heart. Okay, 1 Chronicles 16:10, the Bible says, "Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord." You know that you'll be a happier Christian when you spend more time searching the scriptures than TikTok videos, Instagram, than Facebook, than YouTube, than video games, than sleeping on the couch, than doing whatever it is you're doing. You are going to be a happier believer because you're seeking the source of life, your God. 1 Chronicles 16:11, "Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face." What church? Continually. It doesn't say read your Bible only when you come to church. It doesn't say read your Bible only on a Wednesday night or Friday night with Brother Carlos. No, continually. You and I are responsible for reading our Bible every single day. How many of you guys drank a cup of water today? How many of you guys drank something today to hydrate you? Anybody? So Eileen's fasting, okay? All right, Eileen is spiritual, not event. So she should be like, "Yeah, Brother Carlos, I'm with you, man. I'm spiritual." All right? My friend, what am I trying to point out to you? You looked for the refrigerator. You looked for the food. You looked for the water. And then when you got it, what did you do? You received it for what it benefited you for, its purpose. How come you're not seeking God the same way you're looking for water? How come you're not seeking God the same way you're looking for food to make that sandwich that's going to go away? You have to make another one tomorrow. Why are you not seeking God as much as you are the video game or planning 5 months ahead to go see a movie you really wanted to see and you couldn't plan to go soul winning? Now, how to seek God properly with sincere, willful preparation of the heart, mind, and soul. I'm not speaking about anyone individually. I'm just giving you general. You understand that. Here's how you can properly seek God. Now, let me feed you now. Here's what you need to do. Look at 1 Chronicles 22:19. Look, Brother Carlos, make it easy for you. Got him right there. "Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Arise, therefore, build thee the sanctuary of the Lord God to bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord and the holy vessels." You know what you need to do? You need to set your heart. You need to set your soul to seek God. Some of y'all have a smartphone. You know what this bad boy has? It has alarm clocks to remind us because we're lazy to wake up on time and do what we got to do. So why don't you do me a favor, y'all, because y'all ain't going to have no more excuse. Why don't you do me a favor, open up your phones, go to your little clock app, put in a little reminder, and at 7 o'clock, ding, 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 read some Bible. Isn't that easy? Can't you do it? Can't you set your heart? Can't you prepare yourself to seek God? You can. You just got to get up and do it. All right, my friend, 1 Chronicles 28:8. "Now therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of God, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God." Don't just read some parts of the Bible that you like. Read all the scripture. Read all the word of God, even for the parts that you don't like. It's going to benefit you, friend. 1 Chronicles 28:9. Here's what he told Solomon. He said, "My son, know thou the God of thy father. Serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord," what does it say, church? "Searcheth all hearts." That's what I was sharing with you earlier. He's looking. He's looking. And look at when God is looking and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. He knows why some of you don't want to seek him. He knows why some of you are excusing yourself from him. He knows why, and he's wondering why. Why don't you want to learn more about me? I'm more entertaining than that movie. I'm more entertaining than that video you're watching. I'm more satisfying than that food you're eating. I'm more satisfying than all of that. I don't understand. He's looking. You know what he said? "If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever." Now, we're Christians. We know that we're not necessarily going to be cast off from the presence of God, but that's good application. If you don't look for him, then don't be surprised while you're not growing from him. He's not important to you. All right, 2 Chronicles 11:16, "And after them out all of the tribes of Israel, such as set their hearts to seek the Lord God of Israel, came to Jerusalem and to sacrifice unto the Lord God of the fathers." Those of you who have a heart for God came to church tonight. I asked a young brother today before church. I said, man, that's cool. I asked him if church was important. He said, yes, and I'm very happy. It's important because there's an influence that he has with God and God, and he wants to respond to God. We're not perfect, but notice, it's important. So for those of you who set your heart to seek God, you came to church today. Those who didn't set their heart to seek God, they didn't go to a church or another church or obviously this church. It is what it is. What are the consequences of not properly seeking God? You're going to do evil. Look at 2 Chronicles 12:14. The Bible says of this man, he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. So no wonder why some of you are going like this in a roller coaster, because yesterday you did not prepare yourself to seek him yesterday. No wonder why some of you still don't have heart and rigor and excitement and energy for the things of God, because the day before and then this morning, you did not prepare your heart to seek God. So unfortunately, you will do some evil things. You'll do some bad things. You'll do some things that are in alignment with his will because you didn't seek him. So what do? Prepare yourself. Just like you get dressed to go to work, prepare yourself for your God. Some of y'all can do that. What is the consequence of properly seeking God? Is there good that's going to come about? Yes. The Bible says in Ezra 7:10, Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach, and then God blessed him. He prepared himself, church. He read his Bible before he came to church. He read his Bible when he woke up in the morning. He had a desire to not only hear from God, to learn more about God, but he had a desire to help others learn more about God. Is that you tonight, friend? 2 Chronicles 23, Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim the fast. Psalm 27:8. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. When your boss wants you to show up to work, you do. You fear of not getting paid. So what do? You go to work because you need that money. But why don't you just read the Bible when God says, son, can you seek me? Daughter, can you seek me out? Why isn't God more important than the boss? Why isn't he more important than the money? That's a hard issue. So God says, I want you to seek me. You know what your heart needs to say? You're right, God. I need you. You're the only one who can heal me. You're the only one who can forgive me. You're the only one who can help me. God, you're right. I'm going to seek you right now. Anyone here? We're almost done. When man seeks God, God is found of man. When man seeks God, God is found of man. Fellowship is maintained with man while they continually and perpetually seek him. 2 Chronicles 15:2. The Bible speaking of Asa, the Lord is with you while ye be with him. If ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. You want to maintain fellowship with God? Then talk to him. You want to maintain fellowship with God? Let him talk to you. Seek him out every day. Desire him. Learn from him. Let him teach you. Just be completely humble and honest before your Father in heaven through his son, Jesus Christ. 2 Chronicles 15:12, they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart, with all their soul. 2 Chronicles 12:24, Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. You need help from God? Then seek him. Go to him in prayer. Don't go to your family members. Don't go to your brother or your sister or your friends or YouTube or Google for our remedy on how to get over this or how to take this feeling off. No, go to God. Seek God out. Amen. Ezra 6:21. Speaking of the children of Israel again, which were come out of captivity. Now watch this. This is very important. And all such as had separated themselves unto them from the filthiness of the heathen of the land to seek the Lord God of Israel. What do you have to separate out of your life so you can spend more time in seeking God out? Does that mean you got to put the phone away a little bit more? Then you should. Does that mean you got to stop watching that TV? Then you should. Does that mean stop hanging around with certain people? Then you should. What do you have to do to separate yourself from unbelievers or unbelieving influence? So you can seek God. You're only going to be blessed. Remember the psalmist. When God said, seek my face, he said, you're right, God. My heart says, I'm going to seek your face. Almost done. Are there blessings to those that seek the Lord? Yes. Psalm 9:10, they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. You want God to have your back? Then let him know how important he is before you go to work. Let him know how more important he is than your spouse and your children. Seek him. Desire him. Call out to him. Spend quality time with him. He'll have your back. All right, Psalm 22:26, the meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. You want to be joyful? You want to be happier? Then seek him. Psalm 34:10, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Do you find yourself struggling with desiring things, coveting things that you don't have, whether they're immaterial or material, emotional or non-emotional? Are you not satisfied with God? Are you trying to be more satisfied with your spouse and what he or she may not be giving to you, or your children, or your money, or your government, or your culture? I know why. Dr. Carlos, let me just give you a synopsis. It's because you're not seeking God. You're not satisfied with the good that he offers you. And that's the problem. So what do you do tonight? Start seeking him. Before you know it, these things are not going to be as important. All the cultural things are not going to be as important. Why? Because God is satisfying you with good. Isn't that good? Amen? All right, we're almost done. Psalm 40:16. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. You want to be a happier Christian? Seek God more. Psalm 69, verse 6. Let not them that wait on thee, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed for my sake. Let not those that seek thee be confounded for my sake, O God of Israel. Psalm 105, verse 3. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them that rejoice that seek the Lord. You know that the Holy Spirit wants to help some of you be more happier, but you're ignoring him. And that's why you're not happier. Bottom line, you got to listen and let him give you what you are trying to get from everything else from this under the sun. What God might do to them that they might seek him. Look at Psalm 83:16. Fill their faces with shame that they may seek thy name, O Lord. You know, in our prayers ago, we had a sister, Kena, was praying that God would not, I don't know what she said. It was very unique and powerful because I said, that's a good prayer. We were praying and I forgot what the prayer was, but it was just like, you know, don't let them have rest. Don't let them be happy. I think that's what it was. Why? Because her heart was saying, I want that person to seek God more. You know, that's a good thing. Psalm 83:16, there it is. God, would you fill them with shame a little bit? Would you help that carnal Christian go through some stuff so that way they can just seek you again? That's pretty powerful, isn't it? How to properly seek God. We're almost done. How to properly seek God. Isaiah 34:16. Seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. There you go, brother and sister. No one of these shall fail. None shall want her maid. For my mouth it commanded, and so on and so forth. Read. Psalm 105, verse 4. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face forevermore. Proverbs 28:5. Evil men understand not judgment. Remember we talked about earlier. But they that seek the Lord understand all things. That's the Bible promise, my brother and sister. You say, Brother Carlos, I don't know what I should do here. Have you sought the Lord by reading his book? You will understand what you got to do. But that's going to be my number one synopsis to every single one of you before you come and talk to me privately. Have you been reading your Bible? Okay, so in love, I love you. I'm going to give you a hug. But go back, read your Bible, read it for about, you know, however important he is to you, and then come back to me a week later, and then we'll talk. Why? I'm not turning you away because I'm ignoring you. I'm just telling you that if you want to understand things better, the Word of God is what's going to help you to get there. Isaiah 9:13, the Bible says, for the people turneth not unto him that smiteth him, neither do they seek the Lord of hosts. We're almost done. God's promise of provision for those that seek him properly. When the poor and needy seek water, how many of you guys are poor at times? Amen. Y'all don't have enough to make ends meet. Their tongue faileth for thirst. I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. Remember that fellowship, that relationship. You want God to have your back? Seek him. When you're going through some difficult times, he will help you through it. Look at what he says in Isaiah 45:19. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. So if you want to seek God properly, notice how I put it there, then you need to come into agreement that the Bible is God's word. And if it tells you something that you're doing wrong and you're willing to get it right, he's going to bless you. But if you know you're doing wrong and you don't want to read the Bible for that cause because you know what's going to call you out, then God's not going to bless you. There it is, Isaiah 45:19. What about God? He desires for men to seek after. Isaiah 51:1. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness. Ye that seek the Lord, look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Look to God. Daniel 9:3, I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications. I'm just going to go through these quickly. Hosea 10:12, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Amos 5:4, for thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me and ye shall live. That's a good one right there. Amos 5:6, seek the Lord and ye shall live. How about that one? Amos 5:8, seek him that maketh the seven stars in Orion and turneth the shadow of death into the morning and maketh the day dark and night, that calleth for the waters of the sea and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. Seek him. Amos 5:14, seek good and not evil, that ye may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you as he has spoken. So if you want God to seek you out, there's a proper way and there's a wrong way. The proper way is to believe his Bible and to obey it in every area. And when it calls you out, get it right and he'll bless you. But if you don't want God to return to you, to draw near to you because you're ignoring him, then don't expect God to do that. Okay, last couple of verses. Men will seek God when he returns to the earth. We'll talk about those later, but when the Lord Jesus returns to the earth, Zechariah 2:3, Zechariah 8:21, Zechariah 8:22, they're going to be seeking him while he's on the earth. Here we have it, our last verses. God desires for all men to seek him. Acts 15:17, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord. Acts 17:21, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. And then God seeking man, Psalm 14:2, the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. You know what God said? Ezekiel 34:11, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. And you know what Jesus said? Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. So church, I gave you a lot of Bible tonight. It's a good dose. They help you out to keep you spiritually fit until our next gathering. But as you can see tonight, friend, God, he wants you. He desires you more than you desire him. But he's given you so many good promises in the Bible. If you look for him, you will find him. If you want him, he will satisfy you. And when you're going through some difficult times, when he looks to your heart and sees the sincerity, he is going to provide for you. He promised that. But when you don't seek him, when you tell God, God, this is more important than you, then you cannot expect God to be a hypocrite like you in those moments and try to go out of his will and his way to do certain things when you've been ignoring him the whole time. So tonight, friend, what should we do? We need to seek the Lord while he may be found. We need to seek him by going to the book, the Word of God. We need to seek him by preparing our heart and our mind and our soul to seek him. We need to seek him more than we eat our food. We need to seek him more than the desire for money to pay our bills and to support our physical needs. We need to seek him more than the pleasures of men and acceptance of men. We need to seek him while he may be found. Today, friends, some of you guys can get so much more knowledge from him. Some of you could have been co-leaders by now and disciples by now and teachers by now, but your heart hasn't been seeking him as much. Tonight, my friend, again, tonight, what do you have before you? You have God. You have the Holy Spirit that he sealed you with, and you have the Holy Bible. You have unlimited access to the Creator. And just like you told us earlier, you need to search him that made that sky. You need to search him that made those stars. You need to search him that gave you salvation. Is he that important to you, though? Is he more important to you than the food, than the refrigerator drink? Is he that much more important to you than love and tangible things that come and go? Tonight, I have found that he is. And so tonight, when I go home, I'm going to pray it up. I'm going to thank God for you. I'm going to pray for you. But when he tells me, son, seek my face, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do what Ezra did. I'm going to do what that king did in the Old Testament. I'm going to prepare myself. I'm going to prepare myself to seek him with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. Today, all of you have that opportunity to do it. The same way that you diligently seek out your phone and you diligently seek out your video game and you diligently seek out your job, you guys get it all organized. You guys order your day. Do it for God. Put that energy for God. Search him out. Let him know when he looks down from heaven the next time he sees you. Man, my son Felipe, he's stepping it up. All right, Holy Spirit, I want you to do this for him now because look what he's doing. All right, my daughter Maribel is stepping it up. All right, my daughter Eileen and my son Giovanni. Wow, look at them down there. They're really putting me first before that thing. You know what, Holy Spirit, here's what I want you to do now. I want you to do this. I want you to bless them. I want you to... That's what he's doing. So that's what I'm telling you. It's a real relationship with God. He wants to do so much more with you and through you, but you're not seeking him. But you can. You can start right now. Forget about yesterday and forget about earlier today. If you didn't read your Bible, when you go home tonight, you can set apart private time. For those of you who are married, read the Bible together with your spouse. At least one chapter a day, guys. Come on, at least one chapter. Some of y'all eat a little bit more than one chapter of the Bible. Amen. I ain't going to point your fingers on it. Amen. Some of y'all been eating a lot more than that. Amen. So y'all can do it. Y'all can do it. You guys have been given so much by your gracious God in heaven. Y'all can do it. Amen. All right, my friends. So I wanted to feed you guys that message. I hope it was a blessing to you. Just remember, while you're still alive, seek him while he may be found. Let's close with a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, I want to thank you so much for your grace and your mercy. Thank you so much for sending your son, Jesus Christ, to seek and to save us while we were yet lost. I am so thankful for Giovanni's salvation. I am so thankful for Eileen's salvation, Felipe's salvation, Maribel and Diego. I'm so thankful, God, that you had enough hope and mercy to save me too. Lord, when we were not seeking you, when we were out there lost and undone, believing in whatever, doing whatever, you died for us. You rose from the dead for us. And you sent the Holy Spirit to tell another Christian to come and get a hold of us, to tell us about that love. Today, God, we're saved. Some of us have been saved for a couple of years, a couple of months. Some of us are just rededicating ourselves back to you, God. But tonight, you've taught us very clearly from the Bible that you want for us to rejoice when we seek you. You want to bless us. You want to provide for us if we seek you. You want to have our back if we seek you. You want to fellowship with us daily as we seek you. You want to use us, and you want to use us to be better witnesses and better husbands and wives and single and better children to our parents. You want us for yourself. You want to guard our heart. You want to pour upon us love and goodness and wisdom. You won't withhold anything good from us, God, but you want us to seek you. And tonight, God, I just find it amazing that even though you're powerful, you created the heavens and the earth. You judged Lucifer, kicked him out of heaven. You did so many great supernatural things. God, you cannot force us to do that. You cannot override our free will to do that. It must come from us, God, and I know that. So tonight, I pray that every single member heard what they needed to hear from your Holy Spirit, what they need to do more for you, to seek you, to prepare their day, to prepare their life, to prepare tomorrow, and even tonight, to seek you. So God, while you are available to be found of us, would you please find us in return? Draw near to us as we draw near so we can experience what you want for us to experience. And I thank you for them, God. Please continue to use them for your glory. Use this church for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Church, I love you all. May you have a blessed rest of your evening. Amen.